are listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada. Tony Macaluso came up to the church, as he often will do, and he'll go up in the loft and spend time just quiet. Anybody can really do that. If you want to come up to the church during the week and find a nice quiet spot, that's the place to go. And we have it designated for prayer, designated for people just to be able to decompress. You may find an occasional preschool teacher up there taking a nap on a break, but it's okay. But Tony came in and he said, "You know, what's the next series going to be?" And our next series starts on May 14th, and that is going to be called Crown Him. We're going to be going through 1 Timothy. But in the interim, last week we had David Chumley with us. Next week, we have Anthony and Ali Savajan coming to visit, and they'll be sharing on Sunday morning. And I hate starting a series and then having to take a break. So I really didn't know what I was going to talk about today. I do now, so don't worry. I'm not going to just fill the rest of the time with, and let me tell you some humorous anecdotes about baseball, because baseball is a metaphor for life, which it is. But Tony said, "Well, have you thought about talking about hearing God's voice?" And I said, "Tony, I have not. But since you have heard this, you know, maybe that's what we'll do." And so that's what we're talking about today, hearing God's voice. I want to, first of all, thank you for praying for me on a regular basis. It's one of the things that I really appreciate. Over the last couple of years, at various times, I have battled with anxiety. And I have not had a battle with the anxiety for probably since September of last year, and this morning I'm battling that, and so I just wanted you to know that, because when things aren't great, I don't want to feel the pressure to have to say, you know, I'm just living the victorious Christian life today. No, today's the day I want to cry and go lay on my bed and say, you know, dear God, why do I feel this way? I don't want to hear the lectures of, well, you know, just pray more, or maybe if you did this, like, you know what, I cut the caffeine out and all this other stuff, and still to be plagued at various times at the most inopportune. It's not like I've never given a speech before. And so all that to say, if he seems weird today, it's just I'm battling, and I will win because Jesus wins, but in the middle of it, it really sucks. And so I know from having talked to several of you that there's other people besides me who battle with anxiety, and I'm just thankful that you felt, I guess, okay enough to be able to share your own struggles with me and to know that God's grace is sufficient even in times like this. And my prayer is that in what is talked about today, you'll take it and be able to say, oh, okay, God can talk to me. He does talk to me, and he will continue to do so. So how can we know we really hear God's voice? Well, because in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they know me." So we can know we hear God's voice because Jesus says we do. Back in the day, hearing aids were not nearly as cool as they are now. My dad, due to his time in the Air Force, he was an Air Force pilot. No. Mechanic, and he worked on jets, and it blew out his lower frequencies and his upper frequencies. So he could hear in the middle, but you go into a public place, and there's multiple conversations happening, he's not going to hear any of that. And so a few years ago, he went to the VA and found out that the VA would cover hearing aids. So I'm thinking, I know what hearing aids look like. My Granny Dell had a hearing aid. She was my great-grandma from Brunswick, Georgia. My name was not Louie. To her, it was Ludie. Little Ludie, come over here, give your Granny Dale a hug. And so go over to Granny and interact with her. And she had a hearing aid, and it was the size of a small, you know, hamburger sitting on her right ear. And she couldn't hear worth beans. And she just was, let me turn this up. And she'd turn it, and you get that shriek, and everybody, all the dogs in the neighborhood, you know, barking, because it's so powerfully loud, and it doesn't help. You know, Granny still can't hear anything. Come tell your Granny that you love her. That's sad. Love you. I can't hear you, Ludie. And it was just, okay. And so hearing God, I would compare it to, I'm trying super hard. I've got this, mega powered hearing aid, and all I'm doing is I'm not having anything happen. So I'm waiting for my dad to come out with these hamburger size hearing aids. And after he came up here and he said, "What do you think?" It's like, "Where are they?" He said, "They're in my ears." It's like, "Get out of here. Look in there." You could see little tiny thing and little tiny hearing aid. I said, "How's it work?" He says, "It works great. I can hear. I feel like all the stuff that I've been missing, I can now tune in." This is not going to be a message about hearing aids, but we have the best hearing aid that there is, and that is the Holy Spirit. The reason that we can hear God's voice is because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. We were told at young ages, or at least in my house, that when we prayed, Jesus would come and live in our heart. That's not technically true. Okay, if this shatters your world, please forgive me, but Jesus doesn't come live in our hearts. Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father right now. Who lives in us is the Holy Spirit. So there's someone in there, okay? We're just glad. We're hoping there's somebody there. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit is in us. And because the Holy Spirit's in us, he teaches us what to do. He teaches us how to listen. He reminds us of the things that that Jesus has said and done. And it is also when we say, I feel like God's talking to me, it's the Holy Spirit who's revealing stuff to us. Now, when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," he's not just comparing us to sheep and him a shepherd for no reason. Jesus is using a pastoral. Anybody know pastoral actually is a word that means shepherd? And so see the analogies, pastor, shepherd. Yeah, anyway, Jesus recognized that being a pastor or being a shepherd was one of the main occupations of Israel. And so he knew that, as any good shepherd knew, that any sheep that belonged to that particular shepherd would only come if their shepherd called. And I could not find the video for this, but there's a video that is really popular among pastors, evidently, but I couldn't find it, of these three shepherds with their huge flocks of sheep, and they all bring their sheep together, and the shepherds do what shepherds do. They talk and hanging out, and the sheep are just a huge amalgam, just this mess of, I'm thinking, how are they going to get their sheep apart from each other? Because sheep are not intelligent creatures, okay? Sheep kind of just do what they're told, except when they don't want to, and then they just kind of run off, which is why when Jesus is comparing, what's it like? How does God feel about us? He says, it's kind of like if you have a sheep that gets lost, and they find the potentially worst situation they could be in, and the shepherd has to go find it, and that's what he do. And so in this particular situation with the three shepherds and their flocks, the shepherds go stand outside where the flocks are, and they call, and they just scatter and go. Each of them ends up following the shepherd. So when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," he's saying my people can recognize when I'm talking to them and will be able to hear and to follow and to gain something from it. The reason our church exists is to help people find, understand, and follow God's plan for their lives. In order to follow God's plan, we have to be able to hear and follow his direction. I think some of God's most significant interactions or communications with us, especially when we look in the scriptures, we see that a lot of it can be like an angel shows up, or there's a very vivid vision or a dream, or there's a prophet that comes in with a booming voice and says, "Thus saith the Lord." And you say, "Oh, that must be God talking." I've never had God do that to me. It doesn't mean he doesn't like me. It doesn't mean he's trying to get me to live in a different manner. It's simply when he speaks to us, it often sounds like a still, small voice. It sounds sometimes like my own voice in my head, but it's got ideas that I've never had. And if we're waiting for the booming Morgan Freeman, or even better, James Earl Jones voice from heaven, we're not going to usually get that. I think we hear of stories. I was talking to a friend of mine who is a minister to Muslims in a nation that shall remain unnamed because it's in the Middle East. And he's not technically supposed to be a missionary there. He's more of he's a teacher, but he also is teaching people about Isa or Jesus. And he said, you'll hear a lot of stories about Muslims who will have a visit from Jesus or have a vivid dream where Jesus appears to them. And he says, I used to think, wouldn't it be great if we could have that happen in the U.S.? And I think, well, now they need their worldview shaken so much that it takes this literal upfront in-your-face visit from God to turn their heart away, to turn to follow after him. He says that in a lot of ways, God appears to us, and the more we grow in our relationship with God, the less we get the more spectacular communications, and we get the more whispers. And so it's like, I must be growing because I get a lot of those whispers. So why did God create humanity in the first place? Because he wanted to have love and he wanted to have relationship. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden would walk with God every single day and they would have conversation. God is the one who's done all the hard work so that we can have relationship with him and so we can enter into relationship with him. And so the very basis of why he put us on the planet is not so that we could do stuff for him, but so that we could be in relationship with him and we could experience something that is incredibly significant, and that's life in all of its fullness. One of the most famous Old Testament scriptures comes from a book called Deuteronomy, and it starts off with, "Hear, Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." First word in that is hear, which gives the implication that this is one of the primary things that God is going to, he's going to speak to us, that we could hear what he's doing and follow up. So how else did God talk in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, God revealed himself natural phenomenon. I counted clouds, fires, earthquakes, wind, water. So God used all of those things in different ways to communicate. God often would speak or reveal himself using angels. Angel is a fancy word that means messenger. So a messenger or a sent one to select people. They'd go and they'd say, you know, there'd be a guy named Gideon happened to be in his threshing floor or kind of hiding out because the bad guys were trying to wipe out the Israelites. And he's all by himself and he's scared. And an angel shows up there and says, "Hey, mighty man of God." And the angel would then say, "You know, here's what's coming next." Other times, God, instead of sending an angel, is he would talk to the holy man or the holy woman. And their responsibility was then to go as the prophet or the person who would hear God and then disseminate it to everybody. They'd go and they'd share that information. He also at various times would reveal himself to people individually. And that can be in Job 33. God speaks to people in many ways and dreams and visions, etc. But it has always been God's intention to overcome the gap that exists between humans and our communication with him that exists because of sin or because of wrong in the world. And in Joel chapter 2, he said through the prophet Joel, "In the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And then you know what's going to happen? Everybody, old and young, are going to be able to prophesy or hear God and to respond. Old and young, male and female, they're going to see visions. They're going to see the communications that God wants to download to us. And everybody's going to have access to this, not just the holy people. So, this is good news. I mean, you really want to hear God? Do you really want to have to come see me or actually a holy man? I try hard. But to think, if I want to hear God, where do I go? I got to go find a word. Got to go get a word from God. Right? Actually, he says, because we live in the last days, Acts chapter 2, God talks to everybody. The fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, you know, Peter and the disciples are hiding out in an upper room at the temple, and the Holy Spirit's poured out and appears over each of them like a little flame of fire, and there's a mighty rushing wind, and all of a sudden these guys can speak in other languages that they never learned, and they're declaring the praises of God, and people say, you know, what's going on here? And Peter says, folks, this is it. This is the last days. Remember the prophet Joel said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh? We're evidence of that. Look at us. We're normal people. And the Holy Spirit's been poured out upon us. Later on, we see Peter and James and John, and they've been called before the religious leaders, and they've been told, don't preach in Jesus' name. And they said, sorry, we can't help it. And by the way, they're also healing people in Jesus' name. And the religious leaders, the most highly educated men in Jewish society, look at these guys, and there's nothing remarkable about them except for one thing. They'd been with Jesus. That's what happens to us. What is the point of us being able to hear God? The point is love and relationship. The point is truth and guidance. The point is being able to discern the purpose God put me on the planet. He didn't just put you on the planet to be a fill in the blank with whatever your job title is. That can be taken away. You can lose that. But who are you really, and why are you here? Those are the things God wants to help shape. You can say, well, he's not going to make me be anything great. Welcome to the club. He says, if you want to be great in my kingdom, get ready to be the servant of all. Think, well, I don't know what to do for God. Look for opportunities to help other people. as we look to help other people, he speaks and guides us. But I often wonder if he waits until we're actually responding to him to start talking more. And we're waiting for him. I want you to start talking so I can move. He says, no, start moving. I'll talk. It's a theory I have. So Jesus said, when he was being tempted by the enemy, he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so for us, it's recognizing that this word doesn't have to be like we go to a conference or we go to a church and we hear, you know, what does God have to say to me? Although that mentality is definitely one that's still prevalent. It's one that is a pre-Acts chapter 2 mentality. And the church would be attempting to find to get a word from God, when in reality, God's not talking necessarily on the macro level to everybody or talking to Chris so he can tell everybody stuff all the time. But instead, he's talking on the micro level to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be able to know and to be known. And how do we know that we hear God's voice? Because he says that he speaks to us. But we also know it's not always something that's going to be a verbal instruction. Some of the best ways for us to learn what God sounds like is being a person who either reads or listens to Scripture. Because the more we immerse ourselves in Scripture, we learn God's tone. We learn what he sounds like, especially when we're going through the Gospels. We can see, want to know what God was like? People really think, you know, God must have had a really bad day for the Old Testament. He's just grumpy all the time, and people are being smited and wiped out. And then he sends Jesus, and now he's happy. And now Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. As I am, this is who God is. And so we can look at the Old Testament and scratch our heads trying to figure out, you know, what was going on. But to say, I learn what God sounds like by watching what Jesus did, listening to what he said. I learn from Scripture. I am able to start to discern patterns that God speaks in. You will never hear God speak to you in a way that is condemning. He will never pour out guilt and shame upon you to minimize you. He will never speak harshly to you. He will never be rejecting. He will never attempt to belittle. God is always looking to build us up. He's always looking to strengthen us. He's always looking to do what is good and right in our life on our behalf. And when he speaks to us, it's going to be consistent with his nature. And you can say, well, what about all the bad things that happen in the world? Bad stuff happens because sin has consequences. And it does not always touch the people who are doing the initial wrong. We hear the story from Kim Cecil today about the 11 people who were killed by the suicide bomber. What did they do wrong? Well, we throw out, well, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. The Lord had nothing to do with putting the bomb in a backpack and strapping it on to a person and going and blowing something up. It's a consequence of sins, the consequence of the junk and the world that we live in. God intersects our world and works to destroy the works of the devil. And he's chosen because the enemy, from the very beginning, God made us in his image. The enemy has worked incredibly hard to strike out against the image of God that is dwelling inside of each one of us. And so what better tool that God decides who he's going to use to bring about the destruction of the enemy than the very ones that the enemy's trying to wipe out, us? He's made us the people who get to hear him and who get to respond and to get to be ministers of reconciliation, which is a fancy way of saying we get to help introduce people to God and who he is. Not because we're great, because he's great. When people say, God said to me, they're hearing from the Holy Spirit. And one of the instructions that we get over and over in the New Testament is we want to be people who walk by the Spirit or who are led by the Spirit so that we're not living just haphazard lives. It's also not weird. God isn't really big on weird. People do weird things. God doesn't do weird stuff. It's supernatural. It's beyond us. Yes, it's beyond us, but it's like, well, you know, God told me I'm supposed to run naked through the forest and scream and yell at the trees. It's like, it's not Jesus. Not Jesus. Okay. Does this help me love God more? Does it help, you know, does it point, bring attention to him? Is it consistent with what we see in Scripture? It's like, no, then that's probably, you're being weird. So don't do that. Okay. If it glorifies me, that's probably not God. You know, I've heard some people say, you know, God gave me a vision and I was on a stage speaking to thousands of people. It's like, I don't think that's normally he says, he gave me a vision to follow him. And next thing I saw was toilets and a scrub brush. And I got to go clean them. It's like, yeah, that sounds more like you want to be great in God's kingdom. Come be the servant of all. And so one of the really cool things is in the New Testament, many of the people had actually seen Jesus and been with Jesus. But as time went by, these people started dying off. And so if you were hanging out with Peter or John, it was kind of cool, I would imagine, because, hey, these guys are with Jesus. It's like he denied Jesus three times and he still, you know, used him. That's awesome. But there's various times in the scripture, especially in Acts chapter 15, where it says, you know, people are praying, they're trying to determine what should we do. And it says, and it seemed good to them and the Holy Spirit. There was no ringing endorsement. God's proved this. Yes. It's really just one of those things. It seems good. And I feel peace. Yeah. The Holy Spirit giving us the approval. He's saying, yeah, I put peace in you. And so we get empowered to live for God. We get empowered by His Spirit. We get led by His Spirit. And then we get to do stuff, just living our life, doing what Jesus would be doing wherever we happen to be. And it's not glamorous. It's not hard. It's really just being dependent upon Him. I wanted to share something that I've been going through for the last couple of months. And it's not more bad news. It's not anxiety. It's not any of that. But about 2.5 months ago, I received a cold call on the phone, number I did not recognize. I do not answer my phone when I get a number I don't recognize. If you've ever called me and I didn't answer it, most likely it was because I didn't recognize the number. So if you want to talk to me, please leave a message, because then I know who it is and can actually call. I've heard stories, I've tried to get a hold of you so many times. It's like, but you never left a message. And even sometimes local numbers pop up. And even though I'm on every do not call list in the history of mankind, I still get the calls. It's like, don't you want this free bank? No, I just want you to leave me alone and quit calling. I want you guys to be able to call, but I don't want those guys to call. So the phone message goes to voicemail, and I went and listened to it because at least they left a message. And the guy has a German accent. I don't know what he wants, but he's got a German accent. And I'm a sucker for Germans. I really am. We've had at various times a sister church in Frankfurt, Germany. I've got an adopted daughter who lived with us for many months, who now lives in Germany. And Julia, you should come back to America permanently. Anyway, I'm a sucker for Germans. So I'm listening to his accent, and he speaks really good English. He's been here many years, but I hear him talking. It's like, I got to call this guy. Got to hear what his story is. And he got my number from his next door neighbor, who's a pastor of a Fourscore church in Draper, Utah. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have to talk to this pastor friend of mine about giving my number out to salesmen. Okay. Anyway, we got to talking, and he said, you know, the business that he represents it's a business insurance company. And he said, do you know anybody who's a good salesman? It's like, this isn't about me at all. And so I named off several people, and I said, let me contact them first and make sure it's okay to give them contact information, which is, you know, your friend should have potentially maybe done too. But in this situation, I got the numbers and then called him back, and he said, well, you know, I just want to say thanks. I'll be in Reno in a couple weeks. Maybe we could get coffee. And I'm thinking, I'd love for you to buy me coffee, and I can listen to your wonderful German accent. And we talked, and you know, he's all dressed up in his suit, and I'm wearing my usual uniform of shorts and a T-shirt, and just sitting there. And he says, you know what? I really appreciate what you did, but giving me the numbers for other people, I can't let this go. I really think you'd do good at this job. And I said, whatever. Salesman? Really? I took a personality profile. You know what the worst job in the world would be for me? Literally, sales. The worst. And he said, okay, well, just will you pray about it? And it's like, okay, you're a Christian too. All right. Sure, I'll pray about it. And so I was praying with my wife, knowing what God would say. He says, no. And I was taken back 7 years to an interaction where we had just planted the Spanish Springs Foursquare Church. When we planted the church, about 60% of our income in the church went away. Which I didn't know, because I really don't know all the finances that are going on unless I see the end of the month reports. And so when I'm talking to Hillary, our bookkeeper, and she says, well, there's just no money. And that went on for like 6 months of not getting paid. I love this job, and I would do it without getting paid. But I also love my wife and my kids, and I want them to eat and have a place to live. And so I went looking for a job. This is me with my master's degree in strategic leadership, which obviously should count for something. Somewhere. And I applied at over 30 places. Guess how many interviews I got? Zero. I applied any job you could think of. And for some, it's like, you know what? You're overqualified. It's like, I don't care. You know what? I can dumb myself down. Whatever it's going to take to get paid. And I can remember having that one of those moments where I said, okay, God, here's the deal. You ever made a conversation with God? Here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you ever want me to go bivocational, you're going to have to come looking for me because this is humiliating. I can't even get hired as a janitor by a company that's hiring janitors right now. I could not. And I'm not above. I've worked as a janitor for 4 years. It's a messy job, but somebody's got to do it. And this conversation, I said, God, if you want me to go bivocational, you need to come looking for me. And this rings in my ears. And he said, I'm knocking. What do you think? And it's like, Joni, this scares the crud out of me. But I feel like I'm supposed to pursue this. I'm being recruited. I'm supposed to pursue this. And throughout this process, it went through like 7 layers of interviews. And I thought, like, this is the firm. This is like too good to be true. I'm going to find out after the fact that these guys are the mob and it's going to be a mess. And but everybody I talk to who works for this particular company says almost the same thing, which leads to, is there a Kool-Aid they give you at some point or a script you're supposed to follow? But no, it's just a really great company. And it came down to where I was in the finals, which meant interview number 7 or 8 this last week. And I kind of remember thinking, you know what? Everything in me is all stirred up. And I'm thinking, I don't know what my life's going to look like if I end up getting this job. Every pastor that I had talked to who works, who has the benefit of being able to be full-time with the church, it's like, you're doing what? You're pursuing bivocation? It's like, are finances hard? And it's like, no, things are really great. Church is going great. Absolutely. So why are you doing this? It's like, I feel like maybe God was leading me to go do this. And it's like, okay. I guess, yeah, this doesn't sound like God to me. Anyway, we're just bouncing it around. And there was a time when I'm thinking, I am so stirred up inside and so wondering, God, how is this supposed to work? Why are you doing this? Why are you leading me towards this? This makes no sense to me. And I keep getting passed up to the next layer of interviews. And there came a point, it's like, all I want to do is pastor people. I had so many interactions with people that were so meaningful. I got the chance to say, if I had to give less of my time to this, I don't know what I would do. But I told you, I feel like maybe I just could pull my name out of the process. And I just didn't feel peace about that. And I'm praying about it. And I went and I'm crying out to God. Mike is sitting in my chair that I cry out to God in. And so you can hear him. He talks better once the chair over. But as I'm sitting there, I was like, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And he says, can you trust me in the process? And all of a sudden, all the worry that I'd had was sitting on my shoulders lifted. And I don't know still what was going to happen. And so I went through the interview, killed it. I did great. I mean, even I, looking back, said, man, he did really good in this interview. And I got it. You know, it was great. I got my fill of interviews. And so I get a call the next day, get together with the guy for coffee, and he says, we're going to go in a different direction. I killed it so well, evidently. I killed my opportunity to get the job. And there was a point in me of such relief. And he was trying to talk me down off a ledge that he thought maybe I would be on. It's like, I know you're probably disappointed. And I'm thinking, you know, not really. I'm so excited that it ends like this because this is what I want. So go, then, you know, why are you, did you pursue it? It says, because I felt like God led me to do it. And if he wanted me to do it, he was going to make me get the job. And we would have figured out. I would have kept doing what I'm doing and just maybe have to clone myself. I don't know the ethics on that. But anyway, there's the whole long story short is, as I've been preparing for this, hearing God's voice, I've been living this where I've got this, maybe the real or the feels like the weight of the world on my shoulders. Like, God, is this really what you have for me? And at the end of it, to be able to say nothing's changed. But in the same time, I feel like for me, everything has changed. I've had to consider, you know, how would we structure our church to function in a way where it can continue to move forward without me having to take such a directive hand in it. And I have very strongly for years believed in a shared leadership model, not so much as in a pyramid, but having many people involved. And every team needs a leader. We know that every church needs to have a pastor. But in the meantime, to be able to say, asking God a lot of questions, you know, what do you want us to look like? And I don't feel like this last 6 to 8 week process has been a waste for me or for us. I feel coming out the other side like I'm not going and looking for another job. if Jesus comes looking for me, I'm open. But I feel like coming out the other side, I feel so thankful that I was able to hear and respond. And I don't know what it's for, but I see that there's potentially good things for me and for our family and for our church family. So all that to say, there was never a point in the entire process where I felt just 100%. Most of the time it was like a hint. This last week when I said, can you trust me in the process? It was like, I think that's what God's saying. It's trust me in the process. Trust me in the process. And so long story short, I'm not getting another job. I'm not going looking for it. But I want to hear God better. And I feel like the hearing that I have has gotten better by acting on what he said when it made no sense to me. And sometimes when God's leading us, he doesn't make sense to us of where he's leading or what he's asking us to do. This is not about the weird stuff. This is about, why would I head in that direction? God says, because he's leading us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're good. I thank you that you speak to every single one of us. And I ask for anyone here who feels like they're like my old granny Dell with her broken hearing aid, and they just can't hear no matter how hard they try. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them. We thank you for the scriptures that teach us your tone and how you talk to us and what you think about us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives within us, shares what we need to hear from you. In order to ask, Lord, for a genuine sense that you are speaking to us, but also that you care for and you love us as you desire a relationship with us. In Jesus' name. Yeah, with everybody's head still bowed, I want to give you an opportunity, if you've never started a relationship with Jesus, to do so. If you say, yeah, I want to begin following Jesus, what you're actually saying is I am responding to the Holy Spirit drawing me to this point of making this decision. Jesus said anybody who calls upon his name would be saved. It's through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead that we have the forgiveness of sins. We have the opportunity to turn from one way of living to a totally different way of following after him day by day. And if you've never started with Jesus before but want to make today your first day with him, I just would invite you to lift up your hand saying, that's me. I want to start with Jesus today.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.